Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name. In His name we live, we move, we have our being. We carry on in this life and we carry on through all that takes place in this world, in our experience, in our time, in the earth. All right, Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Amen. Amen. Well, all right. So, you know, so much of our life and our time in life is consumed by doing. You know, and I think, you know, the other day I was having a little chat with my dad. I'm blessed to be able to be back here in Nebraska and traveling again for a little bit. And we were just talking about something, and it was this concept of, you know, so often we're like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? You know, and this is kind of because we in our societies all over the world, we often define ourselves by our doing. And what do we want? What is it that God wants us to do? And how do we carry on? And how do we go forward in that? And Jesus, in his own words, said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So there is a doing of the will of the Father in there. So that desire to do God's will. But what is that will? And that's a question that, you know, I think we sometimes can wrestle with. Because verse 22 said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" So this is all a lot of doing. And he said, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." So prior to any doing, there is a knowing. Prior to any activity or an extension, there has to be a connection. So the connection is the knowing, and the knowing is not knowing about, but it is a spiritual union, a spiritual oneness with the Father through Christ Jesus, because He is the gate. He said it Himself, "No one comes to the Father but by me." Here's the thing, you can't get away from that. Many people want to try to adopt Jesus as a good teacher or accept him as somebody credible, or a prophet, or all these other things, but they don't actually go with what he said. And he is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. He's the light that came into the world. He's the Word made flesh. You cannot get away from the fact that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is our salvation, God's salvation that was made flesh. There is no way you get to the Father except through him. You can find all kinds of good teachings, moral principles, life guidelines, ways to kind of hustle your way through this world, but you're not going to get off the wheel. You're not going to get out of the whole thing that's here, this prison, this gate, the sheep gate that's all of us are contained in and kept for slaughter. You're not going to get out of that without Jesus. You're not going to exit that without going through the gate. You're not going to go anywhere without that. And in that process of going through the gate, who is Christ. There is a spiritual union that takes place. You are made one in Him. He is the beginning and the end, and you exist in that spiritual place in Christ Jesus. So when somebody prays in Jesus' name, you're praying out of a place of connection. You are literally, spiritually in Him. And when you pray in Jesus' name, you're praying from a spiritual position, not using that name just as a something to try to give your prayers weight or power or some credibility. No, there's a lot of people that try to do that, and they try to use His name. But there's a difference between using His name and praying in His name. You can use His name, and even in that, you'll see some results. But you have missed the connection, because Jesus said, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." So God would call those works iniquity, all these things that people thought were good deeds. Prophesying in His name, and casting out devils in His name, and doing wonderful works in His name, but using His name. So didn't we do all this stuff using your name? Because they weren't in His name, because there was no consummation, there was no union, there was no connection. They did not go through that gate. And what did Jesus say about anybody that doesn't go through the gate? All that have come before were thieves and robbers. So there's a lot of those floating around in such a time as this. And you, my brothers and my sisters, that listen in here, and you know, for us, we're all on this path of, okay, how now do we live? How now do we go through our time in the earth? How now do we deal with the struggles and the challenges that we face? Because, you know, in this last window for myself as well, you know, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it in yourself, because we are amidst the press. And with all that takes place in the world, you know, all of these things that are closing in and pressing down, and the desire of the enemy to stomp out the light and to crush that which is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And they don't want that to be shared. They don't want that to be known. So they seek to blot out your life, blot out your opportunity, blot out your chances, the efforts that you make. There's a spiritual oppression that just comes on every side. And there comes times where, hey, it's just tough to pray. It's just tough to get up. You just don't want to. You don't want to move. And that struggle is real. That struggle is part of each and every one of our walks, by the way. It's part of, if you feel it in yourself. And part of what you're also feeling is the approaching storm. Verse 24 said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So for the wise man who builds his house upon the rock, first of all, it's going to be more difficult. It's tougher to work with the rock. You got to go deep. You have to dig deep. It's much more labor intensive. It's much more time consuming. It's much more energy expending. But you have a sure foundation. That rock is Christ Jesus. And when you dig down, it takes longer before you see anything on the surface, because that foundation is being laid, a sure foundation, a solid foundation. The wise man digs deep. So for the follower of Christ, that's part of our experience in this life, is that we, with each time that we take a hit, with each time that we have a setback, for lack of a better way to put it, or a delay, on one level, yes, it is a natural frustration. It is a natural struggle. But at the same time, too, that's part of what's making our roots grow deep and our trust grow strong in Christ, our belief and our understanding and our knowledge and our knowing in Him. See, that is what is going to also carry you through in the times that we're coming into. Because as we continue to move forward, those that have built their house upon the sand. So, for example, if you've built your house upon your personal opinions rather than the truth, rather than the word and the instruction of the living God, if you've built your life upon your own best efforts, well, you're going to struggle. This thing's going to come down. It's going to come down hard. You don't have a foundation under you. But for those that have built their house upon the rock, which is Christ, you stand in the day to come. You shine bright in the day to come. You know, Noah took ridicule for 100 years while he was building that ark. But there comes a point where they don't laugh anymore. Unfortunately, when they stop laughing, it's very close to their own destruction. That's a tough thing, because we don't want that to happen to people. In our humanity and in our love that God's put in our hearts, we want to see people spared. We want to see souls saved. We want to see people come out and have access to what has been offered them in Christ Jesus. And yet, when they choose another way, you cannot save them from the consequences of their choices. Each person makes a decision to reject the truth or to accept the truth. But either way, you have to align your life with that which you believe and that which you trust and that which has become your conviction, your heart, your motivation, your direction, your way forward. So when somebody has refused the truth, they align themselves with the lie. When you align yourself with the lie, you have no foundation. When you have no foundation, when the storm comes, you fall, and you fall hard. So, as you see this coming upon the earth, as those that are around you fall and fall hard, you, my brother, you, my sister, are here as a witness. You are as a witness of truth. Now, in the interim time as well, how now do we live? Well, some practical things is be mindful of what's going on around you. You'll realize that the scriptures has plenty of instructions for you. For example, the borrower is servant to the lender, so as much as possible, if you can get out of debt, be out of debt. I know that's a struggle for some of you guys out there, but for a lot of you guys out there, actually, because, you know, sometimes we come from whatever backgrounds, and the world has, and we believe certain things of the world, and we've gone a certain way with the world, and there's consequences in that. But even with that, ask God for wisdom and see what you can do to minimize the areas where you can be attacked, you can be pulled into different types of traps and deceptions. You don't want that as much as possible. You want to be walking free. And remain flexible if you can. Be able to move with what God is doing. But your foundation is Christ. Your foundation is His Word. Your foundation is Him. And instead of the doing, because that question is there, Lord God, what do you want me to do? It begins with the knowing. It begins with that gate. It begins with that connection. Out of that place, then whatever happens, let that be an external manifestation of the inner reality that's in you. It begins with that state of being, that experience. And whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man, him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You do them because you trust him. You do them because you believe in him. You do them because you know him. You do them because his Holy Spirit lives in you. He said that you need that no man teach you, for my Holy Spirit will teach you when he comes upon you. You do them because you have an unction. You have the Spirit of the living God in you that quickens you and nudges you, and you respond to that. You do them because you know the one that you serve. And though you go through struggle and tribulation and you have your down times, and Father, I repent for the times where I have wrestled with that and I have not done well in just my own internal response to that. because we know that we are, that he's got us, and yet at times it's, you know, we struggle and we say things we probably shouldn't say, and we think things and let thoughts go through our mind that we probably shouldn't have there. And while, you know, while this has been part and parcel of so many of the followers of Christ, like John the Baptist, you know, he baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, and later on he struggled with even, you know, with Jesus, and he would just send his disciples to ask, you know, if this was the one. And yet he saw for himself, and he baptized him for himself. And yet, why? Why did he struggle with it? Part of it was because things didn't happen the way that he thought they should happen. The unfolding of the manifestation of Christ in the earth was not according to, again, his own internal expectations. And we all will have those. But God, in the midst of all of that, was working out his divine plan. So John struggled because of his own expectations, because of his own ideas, because of his own internal built-in bias. And when that bias was not fulfilled, he struggled with who's Christ. And what did Jesus do? He said, look, go back and tell John what you see and hear. So he let John make up his own mind. He wasn't going to answer the question for John. Because for each person, you have to have that revelation for yourself. Blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father has revealed it to you. Who art thou? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the revelation. That is the revelation that has to be in your own heart. And out of that revelation, you need to be able to walk it out. And that, but you know, along the way, there may be things that happen because your expectations are not met. Oh my gosh, if I had a dollar for every time my expectations were not met in this life, or the times that I thought that things were supposed to happen a certain way and they happen a different way. But in the midst of that, I stand here today knowing that God has had his hand on my life, continued to walk me through, continued to protect, continued to guide, continued to be with. And there's a point, my brothers and sisters, where we have to trust. You, what you do have within your soul and within your spirit is that connection, that understanding, and that knowing that God has you and that you are his and that he is walking with you and carrying you and moving you through this life. And in that process of him moving you through, you know that he's in control and you trust him. And if doubts come up, put those before him. Be anxious about nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication make your request known unto God. He will give you peace amidst the storm. He will give you direction with whatever concerns you, whatever's on your heart. And he's going to allow for the circumstances and the situations of life to make you go deep and to dig a sure foundation into the truth and into who he is, because the storm is coming. The storm has come, and as it continues to move through and destroy others, you will stand, because your life is built on the truth and the light and the direction and the knowledge and the understanding of who Christ Jesus is. And with that, I bless you in the name of the only true living God, Jesus Christ. I bless you in the name of our Father. Oh man, he loves us and he's with us. And he's going to walk us through. And yeah, I know, sometimes it gets a bit difficult and the struggle is there, but continue to press on. And sometimes, even if you can't go one more step, just reach out to him and he will help you. All right, hey, we love you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. And yeah. We'd love to hear from you. All right, hey, we'll talk to you guys sometime soon. God bless you. Bye.